is being monitored by CCTV. Also, can I welcome our new Director of Finance, Carl, to her first meeting from the podium at least. I think she was here at the last meeting observing proceedings and she still decided to join us. And so welcome to you. Item 2, apologies for absence. There are none. Item 3, to confirm the minutes of the Finance and Corporate Services Committee held on the 27th of January 2015. Agreed. Item 4, disclosure of interest, to disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interest, other pecuniary interest or non-pecuniary interest relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraph 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. I have a disclosable pecuniary interest in relation to items 12 and 15 as a managing director of Goldman Sachs, so I'd like to declare that and I'll hand over the chair to Councillor Fluker for those items. Any other disclosures of interest? No. Item 5, public participation. There is none. Item 6, pay policy statement.
Okay, thank you, Chairman. I'll just do a brief introduction to this. Under Section 38 of the Localism Act, the Council must approve a pay policy before the start of the year. So here is this policy. This policy actually outlines the approach that the Council takes to the pay of its workforce, and in particular, the pay of our senior staff. There has been no significant changes to the policy itself. The main changes kind of relate to the job title changes referred to in the policy as a result of the senior management review. The policy itself needs to be approved by the council meeting at the end of the month, and therefore we are asking this committee to recommend full council for adoption for 15-16. Happy to take any questions.
Recommended.
Okay.
Thank you. Item 7. Is that you, Ms. Moyes?
Yes. This report is outlining the strategic plan for people and workforce development for the period 2015-19. The purpose of the report is to consider this plan for recommendation adoption, and the plan is attached to Appendix 1. The plan for people and workforce development has been written in light of the Council's vision and values as detailed in the corporate plan, and to reflect and support the transformation of the Council's agenda. The overarching purpose of the strategy is to provide our staff the necessary skills, behaviours and competencies to deliver the Council's priorities. A 2.1.3 people strategy identifies there how the plan builds on organisational capability, establishing new mindsets, structures and ways of working, leadership capability, maintaining the importance of developing strong political and managerial leadership, managerial capability, developing new skill sets for all managers, and workforce capability, attracting, developing and motivating a high performing workforce. The workforce development element addresses the above points. In addition, highlights the major work we will be doing to embed our corporate values for the development of an employee engagement and communication strategy and focus on performance management. It has recognised that an engaged workforce will produce a high performing workforce. Overleaf, you will see that I've drawn up a plan of continuous monitor and review. So at different intervals during the course of the plan, we will engage with different groups to ensure the plan stays on track and actually is flexible enough to actually change should the council require it to do so. At 2.3, I identify the key actions for years 1 and 2. So first and foremost, as you most probably will be aware, we're in the process at the moment of implementing the Human Resources Information System. This not only is to make efficiencies within the HR function itself but across the whole organisation, as it will include a self-service module. And much of this strategy depends on the successful implementation of that system, because it will enable us then to carry out many of these activities, which I think we need. Following on from that, another major project will be the design of a new performance appraisal system. The current one really only identifies looking at employee development needs. Whilst that's very important, we need to actually make sure that we maintain a high performance within the organisation as well. So this project is enabling to do that. It's quite a long process, because we'll look at the competency and behavioural framework as well, which we need to adhere to. But the ultimate aim is that we have an appraisal system which identifies how everyone contributes to the organisation, and those people understand that. The Leadership Development Programme at 2.33, we made a commitment whilst we went through the Senior Management Review that we would look to provide a leadership programme for our top team, which will then follow to the management tier beneath that. And we're in the process at the moment of looking at the right provider to help us do that. But the outcomes of that would be that we should have a leadership development team that leads and are self-aware and informed about appropriate leadership behaviours, that are strategic and forward-looking with commercial emphasis, that they empower and inspire those that they work with, are personally effective, politically astute, and a cohesive team who work well together. We're also looking at developing a new absence management policy. The current one is a number of years old, and only really addresses absence in one way. That is not the way to approach managing absence, because short-term intermittent absence needs a different approach to long-term absence, as you can well imagine. So we want to change that so that we deal with intermittent absence in a certain way to bring people back on track to be attending work, and that we have an approach to long-term sickness to try and keep that as small as possible in terms of interval, as we know that often the longer that person is off ill, the harder it is for them to return. This will also be combined with reviewing our occupational health provision to make sure it supports the organisation better in terms of reviewing those cases. We will be looking at developing a recruitment strategy. That is somewhat underway already, as you may have seen through the director recruitment process we went through. But more and more needs to be done about that as we work in a very competitive environment, and also hiring those probably from the same pool as our neighbours. Also, there's a much more sophisticated workforce out there these days that have access and can view what an organisation is like prior to making that consideration whether they want to join it or not. So it's very important that our outward face is a positive one, and one that will encourage people to come and work for us. We also would like to see if we can make our apprenticeship scheme by far more attractive and invest in the young people that come to work for us, whether it be on a short-term basis or a long-term. We view that if we can really get a gold standard with that, then we can be working with our economic development manager to go out to the community to encourage employers to do the same as the council are doing. All of these hinge on Select HR, which is the HR system, and that's key, as I've already mentioned to you. And this system will enable us to do many of those things, whereas before we most probably would have had a bit of a struggle to do, to be frank about it. So that, in a nutshell, is the main areas of the plan. And the recommendation for the council is that the plan for people and workforce development for 2015 and 19, as set out in Appendix 1 of this report, be approved and adopted. Thank you.
Hopefully all very straightforward, members. Is that agreed?
Agreed.
OK. Moving on to item 8, Promenade Park arrangements for the Maldon Mud Race 2015. And feel free to volunteer for it while we're here. Thank you. you.
Thank you. This is a joint report that have been. It's already been through the Community Services Committee on the 24th of February, and they supported the recommendations in there and put forward one to this committee, which has come now forward for consideration. The Malden Mud Race is due to be held in the Promenade Park on the 26th of April 2015. In 2014, members agreed to limit the donation from car parking income to coincide with the times of the event, and the income be shared on a 50-50 split of the car park fees taken over that period. Members are invited tonight to consider whether this arrangement remains appropriate. Last year, a contribution of £1,282.06 was donated to the Malden Mud Race Limited in relation to the Malden Mud Race. The recommendation coming forward to this committee is that car parking income received on the day of the Malden Mud Race between the times of 10 and 2 be shared on a 50-50 basis.
Okay, thank you, members. Item 9, ICT Strategy 2015 to 2019. Mr. Ware.
Thank you, Chairman. The purpose of this report is to consider the ICT strategy before you and to recommend its adoption to Council. Whilst we've got a relatively modern and up-to-date technical architecture, that's actually based on concepts and technologies that have been around for a very long time now. Our previous strategies have really built upon leveraging our previous investments in technology to get the best bang for buck, basically, from what we've got in place, using existing platforms and solutions. But the global technological environment is changing. Within our private lives, we can see rapid advances in technology, and to be frank, we haven't really kept up with where that's going in certain respects. But in parallel with that, we're also going to face ever-increasing financial pressures on the organisation. And if we don't have the correct systems and underpinning processes in place to improve our efficiency as an organisation, then I think we're going to struggle moving forward. So the new ICT strategy was developed following quite a lot of research to give us a framework to address both of those requirements, and seeks to actually provide us with a technological architecture suitable for a modern council. There's two key streams to it, really. A set of principles that managers will apply across all of their activities, and then another section that deals really with the technical architecture that facilitates and enables that. Within the customer side of things, the key customer strand is really about encouraging those that can help themselves to help themselves, and by that I mean self-service over the website. The way to do this is to provide online services that are so good that people choose to use them rather than contacting ourselves, and to provide enough information so that our residents can actually satisfy their inquiries wherever possible at the first point of contact with us. Now, taking some statistics that I got from the contact centre for phone calls that were coming in and a SOCTIM report in recent times, if we can just encourage 50% of callers coming into the contact centre to use the website as an interactive service delivery mechanism, and we make the service there good enough that they can actually get everything they want straight from the website, we could save anything up to around £230,000 a year. And that's based on the statistics that I've actually lifted. That's not plucked from the air. Now, that may be cost avoidance. That may not actually be pure cash income. But that's the sort of figures that we're talking about through this. Now, in this, we have to remember that not everybody's able to do it. We need to focus on digital inclusion as well to make sure that those who aren't able to use those services are still satisfied by the service we can provide. And the beauty of encouraging people to help themselves where they can is that we actually have the resource to be able to assist those people moving forward. We won't necessarily do all of this on our own. We've got a good record of working in partnership with, in particular, the Essex Online Partnership, which is every public sector body across Essex. To give an example, the savings last year that were realised by this partnership were about £15,000 net to ourselves and about £277,000 across the whole of Essex. So it's been quite a successful partnership. And what we'll do is we'll look for synergies and opportunities for joint working and procurement within that partnership on the various projects that are actually proposed as part of the strategy. Moving on to the technical strand, it's really looking at modernising our core architecture. This is a four-year plan, in effect, to introduce modern technologies such as customer relationship management for client self-service, SharePoint, which is effectively web-based management, the sort of services you see when you use the internet and various other functions that are on there. So instead of going through clunky folder-type approaches, you do it all through browsers. And improved telephony that actually integrates with everything that we're doing. And all of these are bundled in a single holistic model, which is on page 17. But alongside those projects, we've also got to remember that for the IT service, we're supporting our service delivery requirements for the council as a whole. Most of those are detailed in Appendix 2, and they're a bit of a movable feast, really, at the moment, because business plans are still in the final final stages of finalisation. But what's interesting is that there's a very large degree of synergy between what our service managers are proposing and what we're proposing within the ICT strategy to take us forward. So this isn't reinventing the wheel. This is stuff that neighbouring authorities are doing. This is where we need to be heading in the future, really. It's not going to happen overnight. It's a very substantial transformational change for the organisation in the way that we do things. But it's getting to the point now where staff, residents, and potentially new members, we expect these sort of facilities to be available to them as a matter of course. They've got it in their private lives, why haven't they got it in their working environment? They can't just be bought off the shelf, there's a development time involved in this. So this ICT strategy seeks to, by 2019, have put these technologies in place. So, moving on to expenditure, which is Appendix 1, page 24. What I've tried to provide is a best guess breakdown of the likely costs of moving forward on this. And I'm proposing that we fund it through a mixture of transformation and efficiency fund drawdowns and growth bids, which will be submitted and considered as part of the normal budget cycle. Ideally, if we agree the strategy is the right way forward, we need to agree that we can draw down on the first two key projects, and then the third project is actually a separate committee item. So that's the SharePoint service and the client access licenses for the proof of concept, which is a drawdown of £10,000 on the transformation fund, and also the mobile working corporate solution with back office integration, which is a potential drawdown of £34,000. Now at the moment, I don't have precise details on either of those. Those are projects moving forward, but if we can agree them, we'll be able to move forward in a lot quicker than if we don't. And the committee management system is a separate item to be considered as part of the green papers. So I'll open myself up to questions and queries now, if that's all right, Chairman.
Thank you. And members, this is quite straightforward. I mean, broadly speaking, this is bringing the ICT strategy up to date and making it fit for purpose. All of this really ought to be self-funding in the context of actually saving the council money in terms of delivering our services, and that's why actually sourcing this from the transformation budget is, which has exactly that role, is actually an important place to take this money from. But obviously most of these projects are ultimately going to come back to this committee for us to further consider over the course of this ICT strategy. Members, any questions? Councillor Harker.
Just one question. On page 2 or 4, at the top, CS4, what sort of incentives did you have in mind to encourage people to take up online services?
That's a tricky one to answer at the moment until we actually get there. In some authorities, there have been offers like discounts off certain things in order to encourage people to move, because if we're making substantial savings out of what they call channel migration, encouraging people to use the internet for more things, then there's no logical reason why we shouldn't pass some of those savings on to encourage residents to actually use them. But it may be other things as well. There may be non-pecuniary issues that we can encourage staff to use. Without digging into it in some depth, I'm not really able to answer that, Councillor Harker.
Thank you. Any other members? Agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 10, the senior management restructure. you.
Thank you, Chairman. At the last meeting at the end of January, members of this committee have asked for an update on the staff establishment and also an update on the financial savings arising from the senior management review. And this report responds to that request. So in terms of staff establishment, as you can see from Appendix 1, a total of 18 posts were deleted and 16 posts were created. So therefore, there is a net reduction of 2 posts. In terms of savings arising from the restructure, at the start of the project, as highlighted in the report, we assume a savings of 106k with a worst case scenario in terms of termination costs of 217k. And therefore, at the start of the project, we were assuming a 2-year payback on the termination costs. The actual savings for 15-16 will be about 81k, and the termination costs amounted to about 90k. So the actual payback time is actually just over a year. The committee is asked to note this report, so happy to take any questions.
The savings the council is making have obviously fallen very slightly, but as Carl notes, this has now turned out to be a payback of 1 year rather than 2, and so I think in that respect is very financially attractive. Members? Councillor Elliott.
After 2 years, what will be the net saving then? After we've got all the termination payments, I mean, yeah. We were talking about $500,000 at one time, yeah. And then it went down to 200,000. What's the net saving now?
Yeah, the ongoing saving
will
be 81k.
By the time you take into consideration the new wages and that have come in by the appointment of the directors, surely that's going to be back away to work.
No, that takes, I think, Councillor Fluker, that takes into account the salaries of the new officers concerned, but not just at the senior management level, but actually also this is the net changes to the establishment as a result of the whole senior management restructure, so at the next level of middle management, essentially, as well. And so those savings are going to be an annual saving for after all of the changes have been made. Does that answer your question, Councillor? Well, I don't think $500,000 was ever properly contemplated.
I think 500,000 was muted. 300, and then 300, and then 200, now 81.
I think the changes that there were to some of those numbers was partly a function of whether or not this was viewed at the director level exclusively, i.e. essentially the heads of service level, versus the establishment level, as I understand it. But these numbers, I don't think should be any surprise to the council. They're very similar to the ones that were last reported to it.
That doesn't make them very good, though, Chairman, does it? The fact they've been reported in the past.
Well, I think, Councillor Elliott, you and other members have agreed with all the policy decisions which have led to this particular outcome. Councillor Boyce.
Yes, Chairman. This is taking the financial savings in isolation. There is a greater issue for the council, and that is to have an organisation that is fit to meet the demands of the future. Yeah. And members actually determined at some stage that was a greater importance than financial savings.
I think that's right, and I mean, I'm sure officers can confirm, but I mean, I don't think, I mean, this is why, you know, the concept of saving £500,000, I don't think was ever something that was likely, because I don't think the combined salaries of all the senior officers previously amounted to £500,000. So even if we got rid of the entire senior management structure, never mind replaced it with something that was hopefully fit for purpose, I don't think we would have saved £500,000. So I think, as Councillor Boy says, the combination of a significant saving to this authority on an annual basis, which is more than was provided even by the council tax increase, for example, for this year, combined with making the senior management structure fit for purpose, I think most members should see as a very effective outcome from the senior management restructure. Councillor Boyce.
Yes, Chairman, thank you for allowing me to come back. The savings was never intended, was never £500,000. It was my aspirations to save 5% of the annual salary bill, which equated to about £300,000. But as we went through the process, it became clear, and again I'll go back, but it was members' decision to change the emphasis of moving from financial savings to include as a more important issue, together with whatever financial savings, and it came down to £106,000, which in the scheme of things, difference between 81 and 106 is probably 20,000 or so, but we have now got a very, very effective senior management team and a level of managers underneath that are very competent and are very well motivated, and will move this organisation forward.
And I think members need to be careful about misremembering the story, if you like, because 2.3.1 is very clear that the original estimate was, for the restructure that we actually introduced, was £106,299. It has gone down modestly for the reasons that the Director of Finance stated, but by the same token, the termination costs are significantly lower as well, and so the overall outcome for the authority is a very good one. Councillor Fluker.
I just wondered, this was always going to be in two parts, the senior management review, and I wondered when the second part of the process was going to start, which, if I remember rightly, revolved around the appointment of a part-time chief executive.
I don't remember the council voting for that as part two, but maybe members will correct me. Anyway, I think we've probably given this item justice. Are the contents noted? Councillor Boyce?
Yes,
I note it.
You note it. Noted. Excellent. Okay, noted. Good.
I think Councillor Fluker is wanting me to make some comment, but I think you've summarised very well.
The item's noted. Moving on to item 11, budgetary control.
Yep, thank you, Chairman. This is the budget monitoring report to the end of January. So in terms of revenue, the good news is that we are reporting an underspend of £327,000. About half of the underspend is due to salary underspend arising from vacancies across various service teams. We've also got additional grant income from central government just before the election. So looking at major sources of income for the council, as reported to the previous committee, we have revised our income budget by about £340,000, and that's highlighted in this report as well. And we've also reflected that increase in the 15-16 budget. And just to let members know, we have officers will be conducting an exercise to look at areas of underspend for 14-15 and also any trends in previous years to see whether there are any particular pattern arising from that. If there is, then obviously we'll take that as part of savings for 16-17 as well, because as you know, we've still got a budget gap of £555,000 to fill for 16-17. So in terms of capital, to the end of January, only about 22% of budget has been spent, but a majority of the underspend is relating to sort of capital expenditure in our leisure centres, where most of the work is actually being done or being completed in April and May, so that will roll into 15-16. Again, this committee is asked to note this report.
Questions, members? Councillor Delafield.
Just one small point which I've made before, Chairman, is that in almost all the time that I've been here, the budgeting is done. The officers say how much money they think they're going to spend and never do. So can we always, when we start to prepare our budgets in future years, remember that trend and perhaps not be quite so ambitious about how much money you think you're going to need?
I think that's exactly what the Director of Finance said is going to happen more clearly this year. I mean, there is a fine balance to be struck, because on the one hand, you know, we want to get the budgeting accurate, but on the other hand, underspends are not a bad thing. We'd rather have an underspend than officers spending up to their budget. So it is a delicate balance to strike, but hopefully we're going to strike that one even better next year. Is the report noted? Okay. Item 12, I'm going to step out for one hand and share over to Councillor Fluker.
Chairman, can I, before you go, can I ask you to consider perhaps having items 12 and 15 together to save you dancing in and out?
If while you're chairing a meeting, Councillor Fluker, you wish to do that, then that'll be a matter for the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, members. With your permission, I'll chair the meeting from here because I feel it won't be lasting too long. Agenda item number 12, Ms. Wilson, please.
Thank you. This report brings to members' attention the investment performance up to the end of the third quarter, which is the end of December 14. In 2.1.2, it sets out our current investments at that point, which totaled £16.5 million. A table in 2.1.4 shows you the interest that we've earned up to the 31st of December, which currently totals nearly £72,000. The annualised rate of return is 0.58, which, although low, is still above the benchmark that we have set. In relation to this, is that the performance for the quarter is noted.
Members, note the report. Noted, thank you. And members, I propose that we'll take item 15 next. Agreed, thank you. Agenda item 15, Ms. Wilson, please.
Thank you. Members are asked to consider and approve the Treasury Management and Annual Investment Strategy for 15-16. This strategy is attached as Appendix 1 to the report. The strategy itself has been put together in discussion with our current Treasury advisors, Arlene Close. It has been reviewed by CLT and also the Overview and Scrutiny Committee prior to coming to this meeting. The main amendments from previous strategies are outlined in 2.2. These being changes to the counterparty list and amendments in relation to the maximum duration of investments and also the monetary limits. The table within the strategy sets out kind of the best situation, but we constantly are updated by Arlene Close, and these limits do change throughout the year. We also have now included a borrowing strategy. Although the Council doesn't currently have any immediate requirement for borrowing, setting a borrowing strategy limit is good practice, and the current limit is set at £10 million. Following the review at Overview and Scrutiny Committee back in February, it was noted that member training in relation to Treasury management would be quite useful, and so we are proposing for Arlene Close to come in and form part of the member development programme going forward for members to be kept abreast of Treasury management issues.
Councillor Boyce.
Thank you, Chairman. Through you, may I ask, although this is an annual investment strategy in relation to how we may invest our funds, is this the appropriate time to actually consider other ways we may increase the income from our capital?
Ms. Wilson, this is borrowing.
Yeah, so as a council, we're very reliant on the fact that it's public money, public funds that we have, and so it is a balancing act between risk and return. Obviously, as a council and the public stewardship that we have, we opt as a risk-averse investor in this instance.
Chairman, what I was trying to allude to is the possibility that we may go into investing in housing stock again as a means of getting a better return.
Chairman, I beg your pardon, Councillor Boyce, I know this is one of your pet loves, isn't it? But I think this is something really that needs to be worked up. I know that the new finance director has got experience of this elsewhere, and it may well be something that she brings to the table in the future. Perhaps you'd like to come back on that.
Yeah, we definitely haven't forgotten about that, Councillor Boyce, and it is on my priority list as well, so I will be looking into that and report back to this committee in due course.
Members, if I can just take it to the recommendation, because it's quite a straightforward report, this.
Agreed. Agreed recommendation.
Agreed. Thank you. Get David back.
Okay, great. Item 13, final council tax setting 2015-16.
Thank you, Chairman. This committee, as you know, you've already approved the district council's portion of the council tax at a January meeting. This report brings together the 15-16 council tax precepts of our major and local precepting authorities. So in summary, Essex County Council and Essex Fire Authority have decided to freeze their tax for 15-16. The Police and Crime Commissioner for Essex has opted for 1.996% increase in their tax. Members are asked to note our preceptor's tax level for 15-16 as set out in Section 5 of this report.
This is a statutory report that we have to put through Council. Is that agreed? Thank you. Item 14, Annual Review of Financial Regulations and Contract Procedure Rules.
Thank you, Chairman. This report sets out revisions to the current financial regulations and contract procedure rules following changes as part of a regular annual review, but also as changes brought about by the senior management restructure. The financial regulations is attached as Appendix 1 to the report. The majority of changes in relation to the financial regulations document is concerning job title references, so reflecting the changes brought about by the senior management restructure, which removed heads of services and replacing those with director throughout the document. There's also been other changes as we reviewed committee structures and council strategy and policy documents, and these again have been updated and reflected in the document. The contract procedure rules is again attached as Appendix 2 to the report. There's been changes in here in relation to job titles, but the main changes for the contract procedure rules have been made in following changes to the public contract regulations. These changes brought about the requirement for us to advertise any procurement exceeding £25,000 or above on the government website Contracts Finder. As part of this, it meant that documentation needs to be uploaded at the point of the notice being issued, and also a minimum period for the advert to be out for 35 days. And this has now been reflected through our contract procedures, and we've amended thresholds and limits in relation to this.
Members, this is another recommendation to Council. Is it agreed?
Agreed.
Okay. You've done item 15. Item 16, any other items that are urgent? There are none. Item 17, exclusion of the public and press. To resolve that under Section 100A, subsection 4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following items of business on the grounds that they involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test. Does someone propose that? Thank you. Seconded? Great. Okay. It's agreed. Item 18, review of banking arrangement.